What's good? It's Chris from the Chris Collins Show Millennial Talk Show, featuring alternative pop rock band Poe the Passenger, amassing over 1 million streams with their debut LP, Alenia, joins Off the Fret. More music talk. What's good, listeners? Welcome to Off the Fret, more music talk, featuring a band from Los Angeles, California. They're an alternative pop rock band. They are called Poe the Passenger. How's it going, gentlemen?
Hey, we're doing great.
What's good, Chris? Hey. Man, you grew a mustache since the last time I saw you.
I know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why I'm rocking this 70s porn stash. I mean, you know, we're having a little bit of fun before No Shave November. But, hey, you know, we like to switch it up a little bit.
That's fantastic. Looks like Michael
Do you approve
Sarah
of the stash?
Yes.
Yes.
What is that?
Youth
and
Revolt?
Yes.
I've never seen it. Look that up.
Halloween costume for you right there.
Hey, you know what? Thank God I got Poe the Passenger to set me up for Halloween.
Yes, sir.
Hey, you know, it's always so good having you guys on. You were such a blast during Strike a Chord on the Chris Collins Show Millennial Talk Show. And now that I get to talk with you in depth on Off the Fret is truly an honor. And I know one of the greatest things about Poe the Passenger is you can't really pinpoint a single genre to your guys' music. So how would you guys describe your sound?
Great question. I always say it sounds like Linkin Park mixed with Imagine Dragons. You know, it's a safe way to describe what the band is kind of going for. We have anthemic rock songs that could also be kind of in the heavier category if we want them to be. Getting into genres could be sticky because you ask anybody any kind of genre and anyone's always going to debate you on it. You know, is this actually ska or is this polka?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. No, it's always kind of funny because when I think about like the metal community, they really kind of embrace the subgenres. But it seems like in like, you know, recent years, especially in the alt rock scene and indie rock, you know, they don't like to be labeled under a genre. Is that how Poe the Passenger feels about themselves?
Absolutely. I mean, genre is just a texture and like good music is universal. And that's something that we definitely live by. And to piggyback off the Linkin Park and Imagine Dragons thing, I think we write songs that are emotive and emotional that connect deeply with their listeners or with our listeners rather, just like Linkin Park did. We all have those like anthemic heart, just strong songs from them. And what we don't have from them is like taking ourselves too seriously. And that's where Imagine Dragons comes in and these big like percussive elements. This Imagine Dragons, I love them because they're very sarcastic. Their music videos are ridiculous. Their live performances are ridiculous. A lot of times they have sarcastic lyrics and that's something that we relate to in the band. So that's why I think those two bands are a perfect mesh for us.
Yeah, I think that's actually a great comparison. I mean, guys, if you're listening right now, Imagine Dragons, what are you waiting for? This is the greatest headliner that I could see in the future. Poe the Passenger and Imagine Dragons Stadium Tour. Let's make
Let's
it happen,
go.
Fam. That would be really badass.
Yeah, and, you know, Reynolds, Trent, I'm going to throw this.
Yeah, say that one more time, brother.
I was saying Dan Reynolds can wear me, you know, like on stage. I'll go on stage. I'm going to tour with them.
Well, I think you're truly special just in and alone of yourself. But, you know, maybe Dan Reynolds could use a little bit of that spice going on, Jeff. I like that. But, hey, Trent, I'm going to throw it to you because I know that you and Matt, you guys, it's my understanding that the two of you met each other taking music courses at Pasadena Community College. So take us back in time when the two of you first clicked. Like, how did that start?
Yeah, it started really fast. Matt was the kind of guy in the class that just wouldn't shut up. Like, he was always cracking jokes, and I was the guy that was like, didn't care, sitting in the back, like, who is this guy? And he came up to me one day, a couple weeks in a class. He's like, "Hey, man, you're a drummer, right?" I was like, "Yeah, whatever." And he's like, "I'm a bassist." I was like, "Okay." And he's like, "We should totally jam sometime." And I was like, "Sure, yeah." And then usually as musicians, we just say that. It's like our way of communicating to people.
But I also know that there's a little bit of a cliche when it comes to bassists, because I don't know if you felt that way, but I know, you know, sometimes, you know, if a bassist is, you know, pursuing you and going, "Hey, we need to start a band together," you know, kind of the joke is it's like, "What are you going to bring?" You know what I'm saying? Did you have that same energy at first when you met Matt?
Absolutely. Yeah. I just didn't know what I was going to get myself into. So sure enough, he goes, "Oh, I'm going to get us a room right now." I was thinking, oh, maybe in the future that wasn't going to happen. So he immediately, the moment we met, like probably 10 minutes later, we're already playing music together. And I remember just like really vibing with him. And then he stops. He goes, damn, man, you're pretty good. I'm gonna have to tell my mom to pick me up later.
Yeah, to keep the session going. I think that's so freaking awesome.
And he was like, we were like 20 at the time, so like I don't know why he didn't have his license or wasn't driving, but yeah, he had to.
Well, you know what, I gotta side with Matt a little bit. I know he's not here to be able to vocally speak up for himself, but I guess I will use my voice for him. You know, I didn't get my driver's license until I was 18. I loved having people driving around in high school because I knew if I was going to these high school parties, it's like, hey, listen, look, I can't drive. I can't be that person, so I guess I'm gonna be partying hard.
Oh man. Dang. You were that guy, huh?
Free I DVDs. Was definitely that guy, Trent, oh, and gosh. I have no shame for it.
That's awesome.
So Jeff, I want to bring this towards you, my man, because it was within 2 months of graduating from Glenbard West High School in Chicago, you moved to LA with one Rotary scholarship and the little money saved to pursue an acting career in Tinseltown. But I want to know, what made you re-gear your focus to be a full-time musician?
Wow, you did your research, man. That's crazy. Do you know exactly how much money I had in my bank account? Or?
Well, we're going to have to keep that disclosed.
Fantastic. Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, that's all accurate. I moved out here. I got an agent. I did the acting circle, did a lot of fun projects, met a lot of amazing people. But ever since I was 13, I'd been playing guitar in a bunch of like really shitty bands. And I just loved it because I had a really close connection with the bands from my youth and going to concerts. I grew up in kind of the hardcore, post-hardcore scene and like the punk scene. And I used to go to a show maybe 3 or 4 times out of the week, even during school. And I would just jump into mosh pits. I would get thrown around. My friends were in bands. I was in bands and none of them were any good, but we were having the time of our life. And I think I just got to a point where I realized, I was like, man, that's missing from my life. And I remember somebody said to me, like, well, would you want to be an actor or would you want to be a musician? And I was like, man, I don't know. And she's like, well, I think that you want to be a musician because I've never seen you write a script. I've only seen you write songs in your bedroom and sing them to yourself. So I ran the circle, I ran the gamut. I met new people that pushed me to pursue the music thing. And then I just fell into the beautiful arms of Trent Martirosian and Matt Rosenblum, and they've kind of cherished our time together and turned me into this front man. I mean, I can't say that I did it myself because I was always petrified of singing back in the day. I would only ever, you know, scream and play bass and play guitar and run around like an idiot.
So that's interesting because I did read that about you. I was wondering whether that was even true or not, because it's my understanding that you opted for the guitar first as if that was going to be the original focus.
Yeah. And it was crazy because a lot of the bands I was in, the singers weren't any good. So, but I was like, man, they're amazing. Right. And back in my teenage mind, and then coming out here and then like sitting in sessions and stuff, I always had like lyrical ideas and melodies and stuff. And I think I just like kind of was like messing around with something someday. And then somebody was like, hey, you should try singing because, you know, we need somebody to kind of like take the lead on that. And then slowly started going through it. It was so god awful and terrible at the beginning. And it's still, you know, it's rough, but it's so cool because I don't think I've ever seen this much growth in my life compared to anything else. And that to me is the most exciting thing. I don't want to be the best singer in the world, but I want to be a hell of a good front man. And I want to give these guys an incredible show.
No, that's incredible, man. And that leads me to you, Trent, because obviously you and Matt, you guys clicked off musically, but obviously you needed to go on the search for a vocalist. So how did you and Jeff link up?
We met at a Bernie Sanders support event.
Yeah.
And
interesting.
He was playing with this early iteration of Poe the Passenger that sounded like of Monsters and Men. It was like very roots rocky and like acoustic, just super random. I met him at the show, found out that they were looking for a drummer, and I was like, sure, yeah, I'll try out. And I think it was the next day, just again happened so fast. Tried out, seemed to click with Jeff and some of the original members, and then eventually brought Matt in, and Matt would play like 1 or 2 songs a show, and then eventually he became a full-time member maybe like 5 years ago now. And we say that's when the band really started, is when Matt joined as well.
That, because I know you guys kind of, you know, now have become a trio over the years, and it seems like that is the solidified lineup.
Definitely.
We have a touring guitarist, Kenny Studebaker. He's phenomenal. He's one of our best friends. He was here the other day with us doing some writing, but it's just so much easier with less people. Like, I don't know how these big 7, 8, 9, 10 piece bands do it. Just
yeah, you're talking about Slipknot.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they got to all live together or something because it just gets so complicated, and sometimes there's too many cooks in the kitchen. So we like this balance, and it seems to be working for us.
Yeah, absolutely. There used to be an old phrase my dad used to say all the time. There's too many chiefs, but not enough Indians. And it gets very, very difficult real quickly. And I know, gentlemen, the first track that we're going to be playing on Off the Fret is Strangers, which is a song meant to relate to those who feel lost in a society and is seemingly more connected than ever, which leads me to my question. Are you two feeling lost?
Every day.
Every day. How so, Trent?
I get lost driving home, man.
Sometimes. Hey, like, man. Go ahead, Chris.
No, I was just going to joke with Jeff. It's like, bro, we're not on MapQuest anymore. I mean, there is a thing called GPS, but yeah. I mean, go on, Jeff. I mean, yeah. By all means, if you're lost in the city of LA, I don't know what to tell you, brother.
Technology. Yeah, it's just a feeling that I've had my whole life of not feeling part of a bigger group or bigger system, or there's certain trends that happen in pop culture that I just don't identify with, you know, being obsessed with the Kardashians or, you know, reality TV or certain trends that happen on TikTok. I'm just like, you know, Sleepy Chicken. I'm just like, what is, I don't know if you know what that is, but
I have no idea.
Okay. It's a good time, but you know, just all these things that happen that I'm watching in front of me, and I just don't identify with it. And I feel like a stranger, like an outsider to society sometimes. And I feel like we all kind of have that feeling every once in a while.
Do you feel like it's because, I mean, I know one of the breaking news this month was is acquiring Parler, you know, and then, you know, you got Elon Musk who was, you know, finalizing his contract for Twitter. And then, you know, you got the man himself on Meta, Mark Zuckerberg. So do you feel like with these three amigos, they're kind of the ones that kind of really make us feel lost right now in this society?
I don't know. It's just so tough to have niche pockets of genuine yep. reactions and relationships with like people. And we even catch ourselves where it's like we have these relationships with people on TikTok, Instagram, like messaging people. And then like when we see them in person, it's like, oh my gosh, like I have been dying to see you. And I think it's amazing what's happening in social media, but I feel like it's pushing a lot of people to the outer outskirts of like the general population. And those are the people that we want to bring into our community. Be like, hey, if you don't have a place to call home, it's right here with us. It's here listening to these songs. It's here coming to our shows, because the people that we've met along this amazing journey are like family to us. And we would just, man, you know, Bring Me the Horizon, we saw them in concert a couple of weeks ago, and like they have a song called You Know That I Would Die For You.
Yeah, the Kia Form.
Yeah, and
hey, this is up.
it was a really unique experience, and we really identify with what they're doing and bringing in the kind of outsiders, and that's what we hope to do as well. So
I think you guys are on the right footsteps to making that happen, and I think that's so cool, man. Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, Bring Their Horizon, their visuals, and their, I've seen them twice live. I mean, they put on a phenomenal show. And I know what's also really amazing is you guys' cinematic music video for Strangers. So let's go ahead and play that music video right now. This is Poe the Passengers, Strangers, live on Off the Fret.
Somebody call the doctor, I'm so paranoid. I got too many thoughts filling the spots in my head. I'm waiting on an outcome that I can't avoid. There is no way to stop or turn back the clock on regret. It's so contagious, bending over backwards. innocent, wasting our love.
Yeah, that's what's good. That is Poe the Passenger's music video, Strangers, live on Off the Fret. And I know that there's always a common theme amongst the band about how you guys really focus on mental health. And for anybody that's searching for that help, what is your advice to them?
There are so many things. The one thing that I definitely abide by is just breathe. You know, it's so easy to have your mind racing at night, to have your mind racing during the day, and just like you're always rushing to get from place to place. Like, I feel like my schedule is so booked sometimes where I'm just like, man, I feel like I'm just a passenger going from place to place to place. First thing I do is like, hey, let's take a second. I got 5 minutes to myself. I'm going to take a breath. I'm going to get on my car. I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to look around. Maybe I'm going to take a path. They say to take the path less traveled by. I'm going to walk a different route that I've never seen before, see something new. I would say that if you're struggling and in the moment you're feeling like a panic attack or an anxiety attack is coming on, just take a moment, take a breath, get away from the phone, drink a glass of water, and maybe avoid a Bang Energy or two. And just go
yeah, that's the truth, dude. That is a real thing. I mean, I think for the first time ever, like a couple weeks ago, I was drinking a Monster and I was like, why am I like sweating? I feel like I got hardcore anxiety. I'm literally doing nothing right now. I'm just sitting here in my man cave just trying to relax, and now I'm feeling way too amped up. But Jeff, I'm gonna bring this back to you because I was reading in your high school alma mater newspaper that the band's name, specifically the word Poe, is a touching tribute to the passing of your father. And explain why the band wanted to honor your pops.
Wow, you did your research, man. Well, I guess this question is twofold, right? So when I was trying to come up with like a moniker or a name for what I was doing, I was reading a lot. And my dad passed away when I was really little. I was only 1 year old, and my siblings are much older. And they've been very coddling, very parental to me, and kind of had let me run free, as my mom has done as well. And when I moved out to California, slowly they would send me stuff of my dad's, because I was like, okay, I want to be a little bit more in tune with who he was and like what his life was like, because I was, you know, I was curious. At first I was angry and angsty, as we are when you lose somebody or lose somebody too soon. And they started sending me like poetry of his, and I found a lot of Edgar Allan Poe, and I would find like his poems like stuffed inside some of the pages, and he had written on some of the pages. He had wrote various poems about my mom and my siblings, and just kind of like, you know, interesting things about life. And I just thought that was so cool. Like, what a cool story. And I wanted to do something adjacent to that as a tribute to him, but also to, you know, explore my own artistry, right? I don't want to be a copy of who he was, because I get compared to him a lot, especially in my family. And to me, it's like, okay, I can make these songs that have those similar kind of emotional things and the sarcasm that he puts on the page. I want to do that same thing in my own way. And that to me is like songwriting, and poetry and songwriting are very similar. And I guess, I mean, this is a great question. I think when I approached Trent and Matt, I was like, hey, I think this is kind of a deal breaker. Like, I don't think I want to change it. And I, from what I remember, I think they embraced it. But Trent, you can piggyback on that as well.
Yeah, I don't get too sentimental with names. I remember enjoying the name, but anyone who's ever been in a band knows that everything's already been done before. Every name's already been picked. So it's just deciding, you know, on a name that seems like it semi suits you. And so, yeah, I didn't have an issue with it. I thought it was a good name. I mean, it's not like Hoobastank or something. I would have preferred that, but, you know.
No, but I think that is the beauty of your guys' band name. For myself, I mean, it definitely made me think, I mean, where is Poe the Passenger going? Which leads me to the second half of the band's name. The Passenger. What's the hidden meaning behind the Passenger?
Well, that's definitely something that we can all relate to. We were talking about, you know, being strangers or being estranged from the community, and Passenger actually comes from a literary reference in an Edgar Allan Poe short story that basically says that we are passengers in life, just passing through, and we have to make the most of what time we have. And I think anybody can get on board with that, and I think it really helps us know that, hey, we're not stuck in one place, And even if you feel like a passenger, you can always travel. You can always go to the next place. You don't have to be stuck in one fixed position. And I think that idea of traveling and not ever being like stuck was kind of something that we can all relate to.
Absolutely. I think that's a beautiful thing. And I know, boys, the next track that we're going to be playing on Off the Fret is Creatures of Habit, which I know Edgar Allan Poe and your pops would definitely approve of this hit. And I know the band describes this track as a modern day monster mash with its slippery and slimy rhythms, you know, perfect for a Slytherin hymn. And you guys always give me good vibes. So when I heard this, I was like, wait, what? I mean, why do you want to encompass this Draco Malfoy vibe?
Oh man, that one was super fun. It's one of those tracks that's very sarcastic and, you know, we don't want to take ourselves too seriously. And I can't even remember where the inception of that song came. So if you have anything to add, but please, but we basically just wanted something that was very simple and had a, you know, a nice kick to it. And that's something that you could like strut to while the streetlights are flickering at like 3 a.m, you know, and there's nobody on the road, but you're like, you know, trying to dance around the shadows in the street and stuff. And that's just where the vibe came from, I guess.
Yeah. No, I totally love it, man. I mean, what can you add to this, Trent?
Dark and dancey is something that we were going for a while. We thought that was really our vibe, and we were trying to write songs in that vein for a little bit, kind of like what Jeff described, you know, maybe thinking about Arctic Monkeys, why do you always call me when you're high, that kind of thing. You could be walking down the sidewalk at a dark night and the street lights are kind of lighting your steps. We kind of go with a lot of imagery when we write music, and I think that's kind of what was going on in our heads at that time.
No, I love that, man. I definitely feel like I can fend off, you know, Freddy Krueger if I was listening to that track. I feel like I would be the creature like of habit. He would have to deal with me personally. Yay. I know, you know, sleep is a cousin of death, but that don't play with me, Freddy Krueger.
whoa, sleep is the cousin of death?
Hey, I made a, you know where I went there? I brought up a Bring Me the Horizon reference with you boys.
Oh, I didn't know.
See what I did there?
I was like, hey, that sounds like a lyric to me. I'm going to use that, but I guess
it's a little bit of the part. Remember the grandmother when she did that awkward story in the first one? You know, you kind of get really creepy when she says that, you know, you kind of die when you sleep and you're like, what? Totally great stuff. But let's go ahead and play Poe the Passenger's lyric video, Creatures of Habit, live on Off the Fret.
I guess we're creatures of habit. Sink our teeth in the classic. So what if we're so dramatic? It's in our blood. The kings and queens of the castle up on a new high level. We'll bring the whole fucking kingdom down just for fun. But ooh,
this could be magic, did the Creatures of Habit from Poe the Passenger live on Off the Fret. And Jeff and Trent, during your first appearance on the Chris Collins Show Millennial Talk Show, you spoke on how the band challenged yourselves to write a song each day for 30 days over quarantine. Is this a successful tactic?
Yes, absolutely. I'd advise every artist or band or whoever to do that, because you just get so good at your craft. It's like exercising. You just got to do it every day.
Yeah. Are you guys like married to material? Because like I always kind of get shocked when I hear about bands that are like, yeah, we've been working on this for 3 or 4 years. I'm like, really, dude? I feel like the industry is not capable of moving like that. I feel like we need more artists like you guys who are kind of embracing that Paul McCartney, you know, the Beatles vibes, where you're turning around these albums and LPs quicker.
Look, I mean, you always say litmus test, so I'm bringing up litmus test. But like, I used to be like, not controlling. I used to be like particular about things. But then I realized if I'm the only one that thinks it's good, then it's not. Like, if the other two guys in the room are vibing and like, dude, that's sick, then we know we have something good. But if you're the only person in the room that thinks it's good and everybody else is like, nah, we should try something else, like, it's not good. You have to be willing to, broaden your horizons and try and
I know, who wouldn't have known they would be getting so many features during this episode.
It's amazing. Ollie Sykes, if you're out there, take us on tour.
Let's get it, baby.
But yeah, we've come to this to this place where during those 30 days we were like we were living together, but it was like, you know, we were sleeping and breathing the music, and if somebody had an idea, they're like, hey, I think this is cool, and everybody else was like, no, it's not that great, then we would find something better. And that's the Linkin Park strategy, where it's like, you think you have something good, try and beat it. And we really took that to, you know, we took that to heart. And
is that like the most important quality to be a successful songwriter?
I think to touch on your first question, it's to know, like, A, put in the time, and B, know when to put something down. You know when something could be better, like Jeff was saying, like, that's not the best idea that we got. And then know when you already have the best idea and not try to like salvage it or come up with something new and be like, nah, well, that's not quite it either. Like you're talking about, there's some bands that have been like, I've been working on this song for 67 years. Like,
yeah, right.
Like, what are you doing at that point? You got to put it down.
I think he's still using a floppy disk on his Windows 98. That's the only reason I would assume it's taken that long to produce this track. But when you guys are coming up with new ideas for, you know, new material, I always love this question, because it's always like, do you guys start off with the lyrics first? Is it, you know, a music melody? Does it start off with the drums, Trent? I mean, how does that work out?
Something I always resort to is saying that a good song should be a moment. You don't have to save the world, you know, and if you're in the moment and you are somebody's playing the guitar and you're just mumbling words, like, you should kind of be able to Ouija board it, like John Mayer says. It should just happen naturally, and I think the best songs that we've written have happened very quickly. One of those examples would be Cold California, and we love that song like through and through. It's got everything that we enjoy about music. And honestly, the hook was written in like 5 minutes. Like, we were just sitting around the table. Somebody was like playing some like generic chords or whatever. And somebody said the phrase, like, who knew California could be so cold, because it was like cold outside or whatever. But, like, those are the special songs. If you are working on something too hard, it's not going to be effortless. And like, you want to come off to the audience as effortless, that you didn't put a lot of time in it. And well, I think they happen synonymously, to answer your question, lyrics and melody and instrumentation.
You said something that stuck with me just now, Jeff, that you said, you know, sometimes when you're writing music, you don't always have to be the hero. This kind of reminds me of a conversation that was kind of brought up in the scene a couple of years ago. I know two different individuals, Tyler Carter, that used to be formerly known in Issues or Woe Is Me, or Chris Motionless and Motionless in White. And a lot of them used to kind of speak out kind of during the Warped Tour era, where they would go, I don't want to be your hero. I don't want you to view me as my hero. Do you have that same mindset when you are, you know, the vocalist of Poe the Passenger?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's a great way to approach music. It's not, I'm writing music for myself, and I'm also writing music for, you know, everybody around me. I mean, I don't need to be glorified in any way. I'm just trying to heal, man. You know,
I hear you.
That make me feel good. And you know, we're our own biggest fans. I mean, I listen to our stuff all the time, and it just, it's not egotistical. It's because it helps. And I think that, unfortunately, pop culture kind of idolizes people and heroes and things like that. And I think that if you can't save yourself, then you can't look to somebody else to save you. It's just like, I know Will Smith and his wife were talking about, you can't make somebody happy. They can make themselves happy. You can bring happiness to their life and you can do things to make them happy, but you can't make someone else happy. So I'm not your hero, but I am your family member. I'm your brother. I'm your sister. I'm your, you know, whatever.
I think that's a fair assessment. I always tell people all the time, you got to move that soul train. No one's going to do it for you. Okay. You got to get up. You got to stay grounded. Don't derail, my friend. And you know, this is something I want to bring up with both you and, Trent. You know, when you guys are, you know, coming up with new material, and you know, could you provide an example of a time when the band had to like change the melody to fit with the musical content or maybe the lyrical content?
It's definitely happened.
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
change the melody? No, usually it's the other way around. Usually it's we've had to change the lyrics to match a theme that we wanted to go for, or we felt like the lyrics didn't match the music well enough. We changed the lyrics in Sweet Talk and Lose Control pretty significantly to be more on brand with what the song is about. I think Lose Control used to be, I'm just so good at letting go.
Oh yeah, that's just lame.
So you're like, oh no, I'm frozen. Oh no.
Like this isn't a love song, you know, this is a more like badass, feel good, like confidence boosting song. It's
right.
A love song. So we completely scrapped that in a bunch of lyrics.
Yeah, I, you know, like I'm it. Having a brain fart. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, Jeff, but no, it's going towards you. Sure. You know, when I was thinking about, I'm blanking out on the new Red Hot Chili Peppers album that just dropped on Friday, but Howard Stern. I'm having a brain. It doesn't even matter. But really, they were talking about Anthony and how he writes, you know, music for his lyrical content. And I believe it was Rick Rubin who was saying this on the Joe Rogan Experience. And he was discussing how Anthony usually, he just kind of starts saying random words, you know, to kind of fit with the melody. Is that something that you do, or you know, you start off with your own written content and then the boys kind of work around you?
Something I never do. I thought, you know, I've gotten lyric journals, I've gotten journals, and I thought like, oh, if I write poetry, I'll turn those into songs. I never do that. I think that songwriting for us is way more impactful when we're just like sitting around a guitar or an instrumental and like just fumbling, like I said, Ouija boarding the words. Like you have it inside of you. It's not something that you have to like pull off a page or like take out of thin air. It's like it's in you because I'm speaking to you right now. I'm writing lyrics like right now. It's like you should be able just to say it. And one thing we learned from taking Ryan Tedder's songwriting class from One Republic, incredible teacher, incredible course, was that you don't have to spend a million hours writing lyrics. Like they should, especially if you want to like reach a big audience, you should be able to like say them, like they should just come out. So when we're writing, you know, it's like a mumbling, it sounds ridiculous. It's like a mumbling, yodeling, just smorgasbord of things coming out of your mouth. And a lot of times like lyrics fall out and somebody will be like, did you say that? And then I'll be like, yeah, that's exactly what I said. And it wasn't, but like, you know, that's, that's how you write the song, is well, at least for us.
Yeah. That makes sense, man, because you know, Jeff, you sound so well sound, you know, even in interviews and through your music, and I think that's so awesome. And I know, gentlemen, you know, shortly after going number one on K-Rock's Locals Only for your single Follow Me, the band shifted focus quickly to produce a new single, Where You Go, where Jeff, you sing the following quote, "Where do you go when I'm not around?" So I want to know, are you two the clingy type of lovers? Sounds like it. Confess, who in the band? Don't tell me it's Matt, because Matt can't speak for himself. I think it's one of you two.
It's 100% Matt. No, what is that song about to you, Jeff? You have a good way of describing what that means.
I'm, you know, relationships are tough, and I'm a hard person to love. That's why my girlfriend is so amazing. Is she really loves me, but I'm a hard person to love. And I am up at all random hours of the night. I like to go for late night walks. I like to, you know, do all this crazy stuff. And I'm a hard person to love. And I was in the studio, or I think we were in the studio late one night with our friend Chris Santillo, who's got a great studio in Montrose. and he had inherited his grandmother's house, and it was like really late. I want to say like 2 a.m. and we were just kind of like talking about life, listening to music and all this stuff. And we just kind of stumbled upon the topic of like, man, how crazy is it to be able to get to a point where you like trust somebody so much that they don't have to know where you are all the time to know that like you're not out there like being nefarious or being having infidelity or whatever like that. And imagine if you let that get a hold of you and how crazy that would make you. And that's where the song, the lyrical content from that song. So that's not based on anything that's like happened, but it's just kind of that thought that you could have, but is a very damaging thought. And that's why the song is so emotional and kind of raw and like has all these really unique, which you'll hear, the unique lyrics and stuff. Somebody that's
absolutely angry. I mean, it definitely connects with our generation. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, with social media, I mean, my gosh, I mean, when I, you know, definitely, you know, with the whole GPS location, you might not know this. I know you're still on MapQuest, Jeff, but you know, on Snapchat at one point, you know, you could literally see whoever your user's at, you know. That's a little weird in my, my opinion. But you know what, before we play your music video, Where You Go, I want to showcase a clip for you two to watch right now. So I'm gonna roll that clip.
Fun fact, we actually got stranded at the Salton Sea in a Chevy Tahoe on the sand in the beach. For some reason, we thought we could drive on it, and we sank in, and it was over 100 degrees, and we were stranded for hours until a tow truck could come get us. So thank you, Desert Towing, for coming to get us.
So I want to know, whose bright idea was it to drive a Chevy Tahoe on the beach?
Oh man, that was Ryan Dahlwall, my best friend, and he's the director for the music video. And
he's driving on this beach all willy nilly, and yeah. I'm like, the moment I say it, I'm like, hey, it's starting to get pretty soft over here, and he's like, nah, actually, it's pretty hard. And then the moment he says it, the whole Chevy Tahoe just sinks like a foot, and we get stuck. So
tell me, this was towards the end of the music video shoot, not in the beginning, right?
No, it was at the beginning.
Second location.
Like, oh my gosh, that's got to be so location. Brutal.
And we jinxed it too, because anytime you shoot a music video, you're always behind schedule. And someone's like, hey, we're kind of ahead of schedule right now.
Oh no.
Yeah, we were killing it after the first location. We're like, this is amazing. This is going well. We're doing all this like sightseeing. The whole like video wanted to be like road trip vibe. And then, yeah, we were there.
That
is
hilarious. Yeah, how long?
Like two and a half hours. And we were trying to dig it out. And we couldn't do it. It was.
I want to say we were there for like 2.5 to 3 hours before the tow truck even like said they were coming. Like we were like, we're trapped out here, because it's like, you know, we were out in the boonies and like there weren't tow trucks for like miles. And then like there was this one truck company that wouldn't like answer. And then they finally answered like, yeah, we're the only company that can get you. Apparently this happens all the time at the Salton Sea, and people just get stuck out there. So they have to tow, but they can't. Obviously, they can't come out onto the sand because they'll sink in too. So they have this like really long hitch or whatever, wench or whatever they call it. And they had to like tow it like, I don't know, like a half of a football field or something.
Lanta. I love it, man. Oh, you always laugh with those kind of funny behind the scenes. That's like a story I know with you boys will never go away. I'm hoping for not more of those moments, but I'm hoping for more of those great cinematic moments, because I really love this music video. And we're going to showcase that right now to the Off the Fret listeners. This is Poe the Passenger's music video, Where You Go, live on Off the Fret.
I wanna know where you go when I'm not around. You say that you love me, but you don't make a sound. I wanna know, every part of you is the same. On another level, why is love such a game? Picture perfect in my mind. Digital ended all of the surprise. Get your body close. We're robotic, but they tell us that we're fine. The body you're coming is just a sleep by design. Well, I thought that I knew you. I'm getting played every time. I wanna know where you go when I'm not around. You say that you love me, but you don't make a sound. I wanna know every what's your game? I wanna know. What's the excuse this time? You say it's nothing new, but we both know you've got no pride. Question reality, I'm numb to what you've done. Gaslight me once again and you call me the crazy one. Body, you're coming, it's just a sleeve by design. Well, I thought that I knew you, I'm getting played every time. I wanna know where you go when I'm not around. Say that you love me, don't make a sound. I wanna know. Every part of you is the same. On another level, why is love such a game? I wanna know. I wanna know. If your bones decompose, sweet and slow, I will be. When I'm not around, you say that you love me, but you don't make a sound. I wanna know. Every part of you is the same. On another level, why is love such a game? I wanna know. Picture perfect in my mind. Just say that you love me. Just say that you love me. I wanna know. Get your body close to mine. You love me, say we're in love. I wanna know where you go.
That is Poe the Passenger's music video, Where We Go, live on Off the Fret. And gentlemen, how well do you know the music industry and its current trends?
Not well at all.
I think that's actually kind of cool that you guys embrace that. I think that's probably the correct answer because it seems like it's always evolving every year.
We're not trying to write songs about corn or anything like that. I don't even know what's going on anymore.
No, yeah, I know, right? Yeah, I know TwitchCon was a couple weeks back. And I mean, my gosh, you see some of the streamers on there. And I know musical artists like to join in. It's like, I feel the same way, too. I'm starting to get lost a little bit when it comes to the Gen Z generation. But what advice do you have for someone, an artist or a band, that wants to follow in the same footsteps as Poe the Passenger?
Do it. Don't look back. Just do it. Write the music you love too, because you never know when it's gonna come back. You know, we've been writing kind of like emo-ish songs for the past like 5 years, and lo and behold, it kind of comes back. That and pop punk music. You know, we have a song called My Own that has kind of pop punk vibes that we wrote and released like 3 or 4 years ago now. And so it's just it's funny. Trends will always come back, and just do your thing. You don't always have to follow the trends of what you hear on the radio, but definitely, you know, be inspired, modernize your music. Just keep going. Also, don't ever give up. Just do what you love and keep on moving.
Yeah, I think that's a real thing, my man. And I know you guys have definitely probably, I would assume, because you guys are a very successful band so far, especially with the debut LP. What has been the biggest problem so far in your journey of music?
I think there are inherently in any, you know, job field or any career choice or any facet of life that will just inherently want to bring you down. And we have run into a plethora of those people that I think they get scared because they see something special. And we know we have a special connection, and we know we have a special connection with our Poe fam or family, as we like to call them. And I think the main problems we have had are specifically with people that don't have that, and I think that they get jealous, and I think that they don't know how to express themselves that way. And you know, there's also a lot of traps in this industry. There are a lot of smoke and mirrors, and you just have to learn, especially in 2022, how to navigate your own team first before you can start to trust strangers And if you are a likable person and you can build a fortress of solitude amongst people that you can call your best friends, your family, our manager, Serena, is incredible. And she's like a sister to us. She's also like a mom. She yells at us for like leaking shit.
Who approved of that TikTok video?
Exactly. But she's, you know, the most down to earth, sweet person ever. And I, you know, definitely would go to bat for her, just like I know she would go to bat for us. And those are the people we need to trust. And I think that you just need to be wary of outsiders, and people are inherently going to try and put you down. But if you do meet a diamond in the rough, hold on to them for as long as you possibly can, because they're hard to come by.
Yeah. I think that's a great message. I mean, you know, when you think about it, you know, you got to focus on the team first, because you start talking to some of these music executives, and so you start talking to different, you know, record labels. They're not necessarily looking out for the best interest of the band. They're more worried about the mucho dinero, if you know what I'm saying. Is that something that you guys feel, or am I kind of not speaking the truth?
Yeah, you're pretty spot on. And it's kind of up to us, or up to you. And I'm sure this has maybe happened in your career as well, where, yeah, people are looking out for their best interest. They're not looking out for your best interest. You know, if it's up to somebody to sign a record deal, that's not a great deal, but they're going to get money out of it. They're going to try to get you to sign that deal, unless they really are looking out for your best interest. So to kind of piggyback on what Jeff said, it's like, yeah, be really selective with the people that you partner with and that you work with, and make sure you guys are all on the same page and you have each other's backs and you all want the same thing. Because there's a lot of people in this industry that will promise you things. You get an iota of success and people will want to kind of glob onto that or take a piece of that somehow. But you gotta have to have like this filter process to kind of filter.
Yeah, that is so freaking true, Trent. And I know this is something I gotta ask, because, you know, is there anything that you guys would like to see change in the music industry? And what would that be?
People actually making money off streams.
Yeah,
that's a very, very real thing. I know we have this conversation all the time with my co-host Marissa Pitts on the Chris College Show Millennial Talk Show. You know, Spotify, for example, only pays a third or a fifth of a penny per stream. Yeah. I mean, that's insane. You would have to like sell. I don't even want to do the math. I'm not good at math, fam. But but like, yeah, what would you like to see yourself getting paid by people like Apple Music and Spotify and Tidal?
I don't know. I don't have that number in my head. But if we pull back the curtain just a little bit for people listening, to record a song, it takes anywhere between, you know, $1,000 to $5,000. And if that song that you record, you spent, let's say, $2,500 on, hits a million streams, that's probably like $2,000. So you haven't even made your money back after hitting a million streams. So
wow,
it doesn't seem right. I don't know what would be the correct amount to give, but I would love to know the
analytics. I definitely think it's got to be a penny. At least, I mean, you guys can be vocal if you want about this, but it seems like a lot of the up and coming bands are just not getting CD sales or vinyl sales anymore. I mean, my gosh, I mean, I have the luxury to be able to either do Spotify or Apple Music for $9.99 a month. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't necessarily make me want to go out and support some of my, you know, my local, you know, record stores like Rhino Records. I mean, it's just so easy now with the accessibility, you know, online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would seem to me that, you know, companies like Spotify, something that would work would be, hey, you know, if you are putting a lot of music out, you increase your chances of, like, maybe there's a big pot of money that's hosted every year and they pay that out every year to the artists that are putting in the most effort and streams, obviously, into the platform. Obviously, that gets sticky when you have huge artists out there anyways that are doing millions of streams. You know, for us, you know, Sweet Talk just hit a million streams on Spotify, and that was amazing.
Yeah, congrats, man.
Thank you. But then Unholy by whatever his name is gets like 27 million streams in 2 days. It's like, okay, well then, you know, yeah, he's going to make more money a year. But I don't know, some type of creators fund for independent artists would be kind of, I think, something that would be really exciting. But streaming royalties is definitely a hurtful hurtful thing because Spotify's just taking that money like directly out of our pocket.
Yeah, you're kind of sparking an idea that I didn't think about until I listened to you now, Jeff. And like, do you think that there should be like a tier system on Spotify and Apple Music? Like, for example, if you pass over 1 million views, you're going to increase, you know, like, let's say you're getting paid a fifth of a penny. Now you're going to be paid a third of a penny once you pass that 1 million stream mark. Or do you just think it's so freaking messy that everything needs to be broken up and dismantled?
That tier system exists. It's just super arbitrary. From my understanding, the artists like Britney Spears and Justin Bieber and Ed Sheeran actually don't get paid 0.003 cents per stream. They get more than that, to my understanding. And maybe someone could fact check me, but
we will definitely figure that out. Yeah. And we'll put it right here in the fun facts.
Yes. Some podcasts I listen to have a segment called Dead Wrong where people write in and correct everything wrong that they said. So I hope somebody dead wrongs me there.
Hey, no, wait, that means they're listening, my friend. Yes. Which I think is so cool. And I know the next song that we're about to be playing on Off the Fret is your lyric video, Lose Control, which it's my understanding that the band was watching live TV and you guys were watching sports and you guys just felt like, man, like none of the music that I'm hearing is getting me amped up to want to watch sports. What's missing in rock and roll today?
Yeah. Just missing those anthems, baby.
In your face, anthems. I mean, I want Canadian hockey players losing teeth to this song. I want little league kids hitting home runs to this song. I want, you know, curling in the Olympics. I want them shooting their shot, you know, to this song. It's just, it's anthemic. It's in your face, but it's also not taking itself seriously. It's something that like, hey, it's that humble brag. You know, when Uptown Funk came out, anybody was listening to that, they're like, man, I feel awesome, right? That's kind of how we want Lose Control to be, is like, it's got that pep in your step, but also like that rock moment for you to just like scream at the top of your lungs.
No, I think it's so freaking insane. And I know Cyberpunk 2077, I know this is not live sports, but they're actually taking submissions for their expansion on their DLC content. You guys might consider that. I mean, that's kind of the coolest music. You know, if I was driving around doing my thing, maybe punching teeth out virtually on these NPCs, maybe, you know, I think I would be putting on Lose Control.
There we go.
I think that's a great idea.
Hey, well, let's go ahead and show the listening audience what's good by playing Poe the Passenger's lyric video, Lose Control, live on Off the Fret.
I've got that shine that makes all diamonds look dull. So put your shades on and I'll show you the ropes. You know, my brand new stride says that I know where to go. But I never get tired of it. I order takeout when I sit on my throne. I make this $20 haircut look dope. I know I'll take the high road in my old Ford Accord. But I'll take a free parking. It's not your chain or your wallet. It's not the jeans you've been rocking. It's how you treat everybody on your way to the top. So planted when I was young. Our family was built on trust, not by funds. Baby, I love when haters all get stuck in the mud and they never get out of it.
that's what's good. That is Poe the Passenger's lyric video, Lose Control, live on Off the Fret. And gentlemen, let's discuss industry talk. You may have heard about the great Bruce Springsteen ticket debacle. Well, now it's inflated into the Blink 182 reunion with Tom DeLonge. And my question is, do you support Ticketmaster's dynamic pricing? And are you familiar with that? I guess no, that's the first thing I need.
I heard inklings about this. Like I saw some tweets.
So basically it's another terminology for dynamic pricing is surging pricing. So it's a pricing strategy in which businesses set, you know, a flexibility for a product or service based on the current market demand. So like, for example, you know, I know at the Bank of California show for Blink 182, there was like over 2,000 plus people in the queue. And so since they see that there's such a high demand of people wanting to get tickets, they will slowly increase the price. Where when I got in, it was starting at $200 when the tickets were originally the cheapest ones at $50, and they continually go up. And this is something that's been brought up in recent years. So do you like that idea? Do you support it? Because a lot of people, you know, like young bands, for example, they get a lot of their money touring live, and Ticketmaster is claiming that they're actually supporting the artist and giving more money to the artist. So when you hear this
bigger cut, you know,
I think
what's going on is you could always point back. This is going to sound so redundant. You could always point back to the record sales. The fact that the bands aren't making money on record sales anymore or streams. Now, what do they have to do? They have to charge more for the live show because they need to make up for the losses that they've had in the studio or recording or mixing or mastering or marketing. Now they have to charge more for the live show like Blink 182 or Ticketmaster to make up for that fact. And it's just hurting the consumer at that point, you know?
Yeah.
And it really sucks because you don't want that tension. You don't ever want to be an artist where your fan base is like, oh, I can't afford $300 to go to their show. Like, that's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that always gets me skeptical. I mean, I know our previous guest, which was Anson, he disagreed with me on it. He felt like, you know, if the artist, I mean, or the attendee wants to go and see you, they will pay the money. But I just kind of get a little fearful because I just feel like I'm with you, Trent. I feel like, you know, most concert goers are not going to want to spend that dinero. I mean, I grew up on the Warped Tour era where you could see like 50 or 60 plus bands for about $50. I mean, that is like freaking amazing. We don't see those kind of festivals anymore. And I'm cool with doing that for about $100, but one band or two bands, them and Turnstile. I mean, I just think that's crazy. But Jeff, I want you to jump in on this conversation because I know you've been listening, but how are you feeling about this?
Thank you. I'm actually in a season of trying to not be so outspoken. I mean, I'm very outspoken, but I sometimes I'm a little like overbearing. So I'm just trying to be a better listener. But thank you for noticing. I'll let my girlfriend know. I'm going to say Chris Collins actually noticed that I was being a good listener. yeah, man, I think that at the end of the day, Ticketmaster is kind of pulling another one where it's like they're trying to reach into the pocket of the consumer. It's like if the attendee wants to spend that money to go to the artist, then they should get a VIP experience. They should get some merchandise. If you charge them more for the ticket price, they might not purchase something directly from the artist at the show or as an add-on to that show, or even buy something from their online store just to be excited about it. I think that you're taking money from people that are excited to get tickets to the show, which I understand the surge price. It's like supply and demand, totally understand that. But that money is going to negatively affect the band's specific sales, whether that be add-ons, merch, things like that, like I mentioned. I think that it's a poor idea, and I think it should be one set price. And if it sells out, then it sells out. But I understand that they're trying to like deter people that aren't going to spend money or something. I'm not sure.
Exactly. And you know, a lot of them have been saying like, oh, you know, like what this will do is, and I even know Tom DeLonge was like, hey, don't hurt us, man. Like, this is not us. This is Ticketmaster. You know, we're really trying to protect you. And they're trying to save, you know, from, you know, second parties like StubHub from, you know, or brokers, because I found out back in 2020, it actually got brought up with the Justice Department, which Ticketmaster is also owned by Live Nation, by the way. And they found out that a lot of these ticket brokers bought out a third of the tickets, and they can actually are supercomputers that can actually bypass, you know, those funny things that they tell you. Are you a robot? Check the box. So my feeling is the true fans have not been purchasing from the Blink-182 tickets, but it's totally insane. I totally respect both of you guys' opinions, and I'm glad you guys have shared your thoughts on that. And I know the next track that we'll be playing on Off the Fret is Sweet Talk, which is a poppy song like you guys have just referenced right now. And I know it was inspired by hits like Cake by the Ocean by Dance and Sucker by Jonas Brothers, which, my understanding, at least for my listening ears, it felt like you guys were taking a direct shot at the music industry. Am I speaking any truth?
Us? No. Yeah, absolutely.
We're such a sweet talker.
We were throat punching them. We definitely wanted to spit some facts and some truth. And we were like, well, why not, candy coat it, you know, make it all sweet and subliminal message-y, and that was super fun for us. And that's why the chorus like hits you like it's like punching you in the forehead when it comes in.
I was kind of liking the first philosophy, punching you right in the jugular. I like that. To eat that sweet too.
Yeah, I think it's a result of living in LA and being in the industry where people could be just like say one thing to your face and then like you turn your back and they say something else. Like they'll always gas you up and like, I don't know, just not maybe be real to your face. And we hate that. We always want to be authentic. Jeff recently said that his friend wrote and showed him a short film of his, and Jeff told him straight up, this is garbage. And it might be crappy in the moment, but at least you have like honest feedback on your art.
Yeah, that's true.
Just saying like, this is the best thing since sliced bread. And really what that does is that helps, that elevates the art, that makes the artist try harder and work harder to create a better product, and then everyone else gets to reap the benefits of that. So it's just like, be more honest, everybody. Stop gassing everybody up.
I know in my personal experience, you know, with the Chris College show, you know, you know, especially in the early days, you know, you'd be trying to show your friends and family, and you know, like, oh, hey, have you checked out the Chris Collins show? Has anybody ever clouded you guys like, oh yeah, we definitely checked out Poe the Passenger, but you could find out real quickly they have still not checked out the music.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Or just from the reaction, I'll be like, it's not your vibe. That's okay.
Yeah. Right. It's like, thanks for being a sweetheart, but you know, save the sweet talk, ladies. Yeah. But hey, let's go ahead and show the listening audience what's good by playing Poe the Passenger's music video, Sweet Talk, live on Off the Fret.
You're so damn cool with your hair and makeup. That drop of fame to taste on the tip of their tongues. That toxic ruse left you pretty shook up. That superficial click never showed you no love. They're all just buzzing like neon exit signs. They follow, need some air before I choke. Sugar filling every single cup they swallow. Let's leave well enough alone. So sick of the sweet talk. So sick of the sweet talk. It's hard to hear over all the static. Your overdramatic tricks are louder than the stick core. So obsessed over social status. Your bitter habits stick like the gum on the floor. They're all just buzzing like neon exit signs. They follow, need some air before I choke. Sugar filling every single cup they swallow. Let's leave well enough alone. So sick of the sweet talk. So
sugar fill in every single cup they swallow. Let's leave well enough alone. So sick of the sweet talk.
That was Poe the Passenger's music video, Sweet Talk, live on Off the Fret. And now that things are opening up again and shows are being booked, what are some of the things that the band is looking forward about playing live shows again?
Man, something always happens when we play live. Primarily, something always happens to me. And that's whether that's falling off stage or pulling a ceiling tile on tour or something, you know, whatever.
Falling on the drum set.
Oh, yeah.
Smacking someone in the face with the guitar.
Yeah, I've done a couple of those things.
Bleeding on stage.
Oh, yeah.
Are you the type of person, Jeff, that will like literally swing your guitar 360?
Yeah. Without practicing. And it,
that's good. You should never practice. I think that's very amateur.
Yeah, actually, the reason that Kenny Studebaker is so handsome is because I cracked him in the face with my guitar at the Whiskey Go-Go, and now he's like a
no
10.
Lie.
Yeah,
no lie.
He used to be like a 5 or 6, but now he's a 10. It's crazy. Now I'm excited for. We are very in the moment, as you can tell, Chris. We're just we don't want to plan things out too much. We want, you know, fun, exciting things to happen because, like, why are people coming out to a rock show? Because they want something exciting to happen, and we want it to be in the moment. And I just want to reconnect and meet for the first time a lot of the people that we've made relationships with online. And just we actually had to cancel a 2-week tour, which was devastating for us. And we're just itching. When we went to the Hayride, I was already like, man, we got to get in a bus and like go on the road and all this stuff. And I'm just so excited to see people and share songs with them. And we're actually in the writing mode for album cycle 2 and doing collaborations with other artists. And I just want to share.
Hey, that's what's good. Yeah. That is what's up. I love hearing that. But, you know, I'm definitely going to bring that up at one point, especially towards the tail end of this Off the Fret interview. But I really want to kind of focus on, you know, the whole idea about touring and traveling, because, you know, as a band, you know, going far and wide, what's that like? Because, you know, not a lot of us have had that experience, you know, jumping in a van or, you know, an RV, or I don't know how you guys are doing it. But talk to the listening audience about that experience. Is it humbling? Do you hate it?
No, it's awesome. It's pretty humbling, but it's awesome. And it's just, I don't know, it's just so rock and roll, for a lack of better term. Like, it was so great. We rented our own van and everything, got all our hotel rooms, and got to see new cities that some of us have never been in, you know, some repeat cities. I got to go back to Arizona, where I went to school for a little bit. My brother and sister-in-law came out to see me, some old friends, and we got to meet new people in Utah and where else were we? We were kind of all over, huh?
Vegas was Vegas. Wild. Reno. I'd never been to Reno. That place is cool.
That's what's up. Yeah. What it sounds like is, you know, sometimes, you know, you go to these certain cities and you might think down on them. And then when you finally show up, you're like, man, this is actually a great music scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And there's so many cities we haven't been to, but that's what I'm looking forward to the most, is the traveling aspect and really just seeing these, you know, small places that, I mean, people will repeatedly tell us on TikTok, like, hey, you need to come to wherever. And I'll be like, I forgot that was even a state. I'm so excited to go there. You know?
Yeah. I love that, man. How do you guys handle, you know, frequent traveling or just being away from home for a long periods of time?
No, we love it. I'm a vagabond.
So you don't mind it at all? You don't get all sappy?
Nah. I used to hate it, but I'm loving it a lot more. I used to like be the person that loves their set schedule and everything needs to like happen at a certain time. And then now I've just been a little bit more chaotic. I've been traveling more for like personally and with the band. I've never traveled more. And I think it's great. You get more perspective when you see how other people live. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Yeah, I think you just got to ride the wave, Trent.
You don't get caught on the undertow. Come on now.
No, I think that's so cool, man. And you guys are kind of jumping exactly what I was thinking. I want to know what the future is like for the band. I mean, is there any kind of secret releases or collabs you can let us in on?
Secret sauce. Yeah, I mean, we're
I know you did reference, like, you know, 10 minutes back that, you know, your manager was saying you guys are really
this is what's
leaking
going down.
Stuff all the time. But you know what? Just kind of a thought, you know, yeah. They made it this far into the off the front. I think you can kind of spill the beans just a little bit. I mean, what's happening with Poe the Passenger?
we're working on a feature right now with another artist, mm-hmm. and we're definitely writing album two, trying to write more, a little bit more upbeat songs. We have a show coming up where we're going to play a fun cover. We're going to play a couple new songs. We're going to play Creatures of Habit for sure. So just excited to get out there and play some more shows and then probably touring early next year.
Yeah.
Hey, that's what's up.
I won't say who the feature is, but if you go to our TikTok, I've been doing this thing where I do open verse challenges, and I will say that it's one of those artists. And I
want you to go on okay.
Which was really exciting to be able to get recognized by this artist. And then now we're, like, you know, working on the song and stuff. It's really
no
cool
way. So that's literally how it went down, by literally doing an open verse thing. And then that artist was like, that was freaking badass. I am so willing to work with Poe the Passenger.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, as much as, you know, social media can be so ugly and nasty, I mean, my gosh, you know, that's one of the few benefits. That's so freaking cool. I've never heard of anything like that. Now you guys got me really amped up to hear this track. So definitely when it starts to come out, you know, a lot closer, definitely inform me. I need to be the first person to hear this banger. That is so sweet, bro. And you know, the last track that we're going to be playing on Off the Fret is Poe the Passenger's music video, Cold California, live on Off the Fret.
Tell somebody you're sorry. Throw your worries to the sea. Who knew California could be so cold? On the surface, we're all right. Hollywood is still on fire. Who knew California could be so cold? Every day it feels just like Nirvana. Even though the 405 is trash,
what's good. That is Poe the Passenger's music video, Cold California live on Off the Fret. And before we wrap it up, is there anything that you want to say to new fans and current fans right now?
Go for it.
Yeah, go for it. It's great. No, come say what's up. We are, if you have watched this whole thing, we're super personable. We are dying to meet new people. Come say what's up to us on Instagram and TikTok. That's where we're most active, at Poe the Passenger. I'm Jeff. This is Trent. Matt and Kenny are the really good looking guys. So if you want to see some hot dudes, you got to go check them out. But thank you so much for having us, Chris. We're happy to be here.
You know, I can't thank you again, Poe the Passenger, for joining Off the Fret. More music talk. And make sure to check out Poe the Passenger's debut LP. And I know you guys were making fun of me the first time. And if you notice, I was trying not to say the album title because I know I'm probably going to butcher it again for a second time, but Alinea. Gosh dang it, I knew I was gonna do it. Nobody, you know what's so funny about that album title, you could say it's like you could say it like 20 times and you're still gonna butcher it by the time you go to do the interview. Yeah. So
that's all right.
It's all good.
No, but it's a beautiful thing. And where can the listening audience follow you guys on social media?
Thank you so much. It's everything's at Poe the Passenger. Check us out on Instagram and TikTok. That's where we're most active. Join the Poe fam. It's an incredible community. Drop a comment on our video. We respond to every single one of those. Come see us if you're ever in Los Angeles, and expect to see us on the road in a domestic tour here in the United States in early of next year. And you can check out Alinea, which is our debut album, which has amassed over 1 million streams in just a little over a month. And we're just so excited, so happy to share these songs with you. They mean the world to us. We hope they mean just as much to you.
I wanna know where you go when I'm not around. You say that you love me, but you don't make a sound. I wanna know every part of you is the same. On another level, why is love such a game? I wanna know. Ooh.